And in tonight's lesson, we will learn about the betrayal of Jesus by Judas Iscariot. So the subtitle for tonight's message is this: Betrayed. Betrayed. Your Bible should be in John chapter 13. The betrayal of Jesus. It is the most perplexing and troubling incident that we can look at in the Bible. How could one of his very own renounce and abandon him the way that Judas did? How could someone walk so closely with Jesus, see and experience his miraculous power on a daily basis, bask in his unspeakable love, and yet betray him? It is indeed perplexing and troubling. How did this happen? Why did it happen? Why did Judas betray his master? Well, remember last night we learned that for 3 years, Jesus had carried out his earthly ministry, preaching and teaching, healing and delivering, loving those whom he came into contact with. Yet the religious establishment constantly attacked him, while the people would not fully commit to him. The hostility to him was great, and it only intensified with time. Jesus had been in Jerusalem during the Feast of Dedication, walking in the temple. The Jews surrounded him and said, "How long will you keep us in doubt? Tell us plainly if you are the Christ." Jesus said, "I have made it plain to you. My works speak for themselves. And if you had really belonged to me, you would have heard my voice." And Jesus concluded by saying, "I and my Father are one." The Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus escaped out of their hands and withdrew to an area beyond the Jordan, outside of the jurisdiction those leaders from Jerusalem. Jesus, we learn, however, was compelled to return to this small town called Bethany. Bethany was about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And he had to return to Bethany because he learned that his friend Lazarus had died. When Jesus returned, he raised Lazarus from the dead. The people were amazed, but the Pharisees were incensed. Now more than ever before, they were determined to do something about Jesus Christ. And Jesus departed from Bethany again, stayed away until it was time to go to the cross. And at the appointed time, we learned that Jesus began to head back to Jerusalem. And on his way, he journeyed through Jericho, returning to Bethany, that place of the great miracle. There he stayed with his old familiar friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And from there we learn he made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem several days before the Passover feast. But the Gospel of John records that while Jesus was in Bethany, preparing for his triumphant entry, his friends made him a great supper. Martha was there. Mary was there. Lazarus was there. Martha served Jesus. Lazarus sat at the table with Jesus. But Mary took a pound of rare and costly perfume and anointed Jesus' feet, then wiped his feet with her hair out of an act of worship and gratitude to him for what he had done when he raised Lazarus from the dead. But someone else was sitting at the table. It was Judas. Judas became indignant that Mary would anoint Jesus' feet with such a costly perfume. He asked the question, why was this perfume not sold for 300 pence? That is what amounts to a year's worth of wages for an ordinary man. It was an expensive perfume. He said, why was this not sold and given to the poor? He was indignant. But the writer records this observation. Judas did not ask this question because he was truly concerned with the poor. He asked this question because he was a thief. See, Judas was the treasurer, and he had the money bag. But all the while, he was stealing out of the collection. Jesus rebuked Judas, saying, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. In other words, she is preparing my body for burial. So here at this celebratory supper, we discover that something is amiss. Judas is not who we thought he was. Who was Judas? He was a hypocrite. He was a pretender and a liar, expressing a concern that was not really in his heart. He was a hypocrite. From this encounter, we learn that Judas was greedy and selfish. He was greedy and selfish, loving money above all else. And his unchecked desires had turned him into a thief. He was greedy and selfish, and Judas was irreverent. In other words, he did not love, respect, or honor Jesus. Because how could he question Mary's love for Jesus? How could he question her devotion to Jesus after all that he had done for them? How could he feel that Jesus was not worthy of the worship that he received at the hands of Mary? He was irreverent. Judas was discontent. He was discontent. See, his criticism of Mary was telling. It showed that his attention was not on spiritual things, but that his attention was on worldly things. And like those who would cry out, Hosanna, Judas wanted Jesus to be a different kind of king. He wanted Jesus to be a king who would use his powers to satisfy Judas's material worldly lusts. And now, as he sat here, perhaps Judas sees the handwriting on the wall. Because Jesus is not talking about conquest. He's not talking about reclaiming the land for his people. He's not talking about destroying the Roman government. He keeps talking about his death. That's not what Judas wanted. It's not what he signed up for. And it really didn't matter what had happened all the way up to that point. It didn't really matter to Judas that he had been taught the truth by Jesus himself. It didn't matter that Judas had experienced Jesus's faithfulness and love. It didn't matter to him that he witnessed Jesus's healing power or that he was a part of a fellowship of disciples. None of that mattered to Judas. He was greedy, selfish, and hypocritical, never allowing the truth to penetrate his heart and to cleanse him. Because of his pride, he stubbornly held on to his own desires instead of conforming to Jesus and his word. When he realized that Jesus was not going to give him what he desired, he became angry. He became bitter and disillusioned. And when Jesus rebuked him, he turned away for good. Immediately after dinner, Judas went to the chief priests. And the Gospel of Luke says that Satan entered him. He went to the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I'll deliver him unto you. The chief priests were delighted because they had been trying to find a way to kill Jesus. So they offered Judas 30 pieces of silver, and he gladly received. 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. How full of contempt was Judas. To him, the perfume that had anointed Jesus' feet was worth more than Jesus himself. He sold his master for 30 pieces of silver. He was promised, if you deliver him into our hands, in the absence of the multitude, we have an agreement. See, everything had to be done under the cover of darkness. That was part of the arrangement. You must deliver him in the absence of the multitude because they did not want to publicly seize Jesus. They knew that if they did, the people might riot. Judas agrees with the plan. And the Bible says that from that time on, he carefully sought opportunity to betray Jesus. That brings us to our scripture for this evening. Fast forward several days. Jesus has entered into Jerusalem. He has done a number of things. He has confronted the leadership. He has told his final series of parables. Now we are at the feast of the Passover. Jesus is having supper with his disciples. And during that meal, Jesus performs an act of extreme humility. He washes his disciples' feet. And he tells them, "You call me master. And if I, being your master, wash your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." In other words, he was setting the tone, saying that as brothers and sisters in Christ, you ought to care and serve one another. And so we pick up in John chapter 13. We're going to read verses 18 through 30. Jesus still talking to his disciples. He says, "I speak not of all of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That was the disciple John. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." When he had dipped the sop or the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Jesus here lets the disciples know, one of you is going to betray me. And the reason that he says this to the disciples is he did not want them to lack trust in him. He wanted to assure them that he was fully in control. So he's saying, one of you is going to betray me, but I know it. And I know who it is. I am fully in control. And then Jesus describes the depth of Judas's treachery. He that eateth bread with me,